Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Hi guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. We got another stranger here today. It's mid-November. The world is a beautiful place. There's so much love in the world right now. Things are just really going great for everybody. I'm here for it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. We got our first stranger, Rachel Murray.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet name.
Is it?
Yeah, Rachel Murray. That sounds good.
It's very common, but...
Is it? There's a lot of Rachel Murrays out there?
Yeah, whenever I go to like a new dry cleaner, they're like, we already have a Rachel Murray that lives two blocks away from you.
She's already classier than me. She goes to dry cleaners.
Yeah.
I once took some clothes to a dry cleaner, and when they told me the price, I was like, this is outrageous.
It is crazy. I think I only went a couple times in New York.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I was a kid, it was $2 per item. And now it's like $10 because it's a blouse and not a shirt.
See, I'm just taking dress shirts that I wear whenever someone I know dies. And I sweat through them because I'm not supposed to wear nice clothes, I think. And it's always an issue. And so I take them in and they go tell me the price. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to buy a new shirt because this is absurd. And they're always a weird foreigner. And as an American, I find that to be disrespectful to the country. Listen, there's a lot of baggage already coming out today. You said you did it in New York. You used the dry cleaner in New York.
Yeah.
Are you from there?
No, I'm from Orange County, but I did 4 years.
You served some time in the city.
Yeah.
What made you move to New York?
An impulse when I was 22.
Okay.
I mean, at
22, you want to get away from what you know.
Yeah.
And so you were born and raised in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So you already won.
Right, but you take it for granted. So I was like, and then I learned
if I could go live somewhere where I was poor and it sucked most of the time.
I think I crave like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Like I
could see that. A lot of people always ask, well, how come you don't do comedy in New York? And I'm like, because it sucks.
It's really bad.
Terrible city filled with terrible people. obviously not our producer, John. That guy, he is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows exactly the type of people I'm talking about. There's these places all throughout America where people really think they're better than everyone else. And some places, you know, it checks out.
Yeah.
Parts of Southern California, no doubt, way better. Orange County, as long as you're in like one of the three good parts of Orange County.
Right.
Way better than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
If you're from like the shittier parts of Orange County, basically just America.
Mm-hmm.
So not good.
Yeah, there's some podunk OC like territory.
What do you think the worst part of Orange County is?
Probably like a Placentia, Santa Ana.
Yeah. Santa Ana does have that Trinity Broadcasting Network though, which has always been really big on my list of coolest places in the world. I'm into anywhere where people are really just trying to take money from people who don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very respectable.
Resourceful people there.
And if you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ, even better. That's honestly the only thing I know about Santa Ana.
I didn't even know that. I just nodded along.
I used to eat hallucinogenic drugs in college, and then I would watch the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and it was basically just swindlers trying to get Christians to give them money. They'd burn debt, you know.
Oh.
You'd call them and you'd say, I'm $10,000 in debt. I don't have $10,000. If I just send you $800, burn my debt in the eyes of God.
Wow.
And old people would do it. And
are they
still
running?
They've got to be. There's no way that plan stopped over the last 5 years. Who knows? Anyway, that's a little too much about me and my psychotic nature. I'm reading some of these things about you, and just right off the bat, I'm like, there's no way this stuff is true.
This is
all true? Four nipples? I mean,
I don't know why when people ask, like, name or like, tell us three things about yourself, I immediately go to like the most humiliating, just gross stuff. I don't know why, because I'm like,
who's humiliated by four nipples?
I
mean, that's one of those things where you just go, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously then your mind goes, Where are the other two?
In the regular spots.
So they're all together.
They're all, well, we have what's called, we as in the human race.
Sure.
Like two nipple lines that run all the way, like, from these top ones down to, like, your groin area.
You can say any
word
you want.
You can have a nipple anywhere along those lines.
Is that true?
Yes.
So, I mean, so, you became an expert in this field?
Yeah, well, yeah, my mom always told me it was a mole. And then it, like, it's gotten more nipple-like as mm-hmm. I get older.
Listen, I think I have a mole on my side that I've been saying is a third nipple for years.
And I've seen them in the armpits before.
Yeah, mine's, like, right here.
Yeah.
And I'm 90% sure it's a third nipple, and no one is willing to tell me.
I can
they
confirm
know
that for you.
That'll be the thing that pushes me over the edge into full-blown insanity.
Yeah.
But four, it sounds like it, at least, you know, you're in a matching situation.
No, they're not symmetrical.
It doesn't work like that?
There's one prominent. The third one is more prominent than the fourth.
The fourth one. And then, so the fourth, let's call it the forgotten nipple.
Yeah.
If we can.
And I can hide that one. The third one I can't hide.
So many questions. I don't even know if we can discuss further.
Draw a diagram.
Yeah.
We can discuss.
At what age were you made aware that
diagnosed?
This is, yeah, where they said, listen, there's some extra nipples here.
I think it was confirmed by a dermatologist, like in my 20s, I think in New York, where they're not afraid to tell it like it is.
Classic. The one good thing that city has is their openness about extra nipples.
Yeah.
You know, and out in L.A., Orange County, they're just like,
here.
No, it's a mole. It's a mole that looks like a nipple. And then the next thing I have, this is honestly one of the greatest compiled lists of interesting things about someone. Kidnapped a girl when she was 5. Now, I don't know whether that means you were 5.
She was 5 and I was 5.
You were 5 as well.
Okay.
So you're a 5-year-old.
Yeah. So I was a really shy, quiet kid, but I had these like schemes, I think. And I think I like preyed on girls who were like more shy and weak than I was, so that I could have some sense
it made,
of like
it gave
power.
You power, yeah.
Yeah, which is sick, but
you're
I'm
a
better now.
You're
yeah,
a
I'm
shy
okay
5-year-old.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you kidnapped 5-year-olds.
So
without the context, by the way, of you were also 5.
Yeah.
I looked at him like, it's interesting that we chose her to come in.
I think John wrote that down wrong.
Yeah.
Because I said when I was 5.
Well, it says kidnapped a girl when she was 5.
And
so I didn't know if that meant you
important
were 5
yeah
or whether the girl was 5. But now that I know you were both 5, sounds like a hell of an adventure.
Yeah.
This is like Huckleberry Finn type hijinks.
It was. Yeah.
So you kidnapped the girl. What does that involve?
Well, after kindergarten, well, during the day, I was like, I want this little girl to come to my house and
yep
play with me. But I went to this after school daycare because I had a working single mom. So I had to go to this daycare every day. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to walk home with my friend and play. So I drew like a map of like how to get, because I knew how to like walk home from school.
Right.
And after school, I like took her into like the bushes instead of getting into the van to the daycare.
So old school.
And
I mean, your choices were the bushes or the van. Either
I
way
know
there's a kidnapping of
yeah
some sort going on.
And we were in there for hours.
In the bushes?
In the bushes for hours, and we would like see everyone kind of
yeah
disperse, and school was like long over. And then I don't remember. I feel like she was probably scared, and I was like, it's fine. Like, just
listen,
stop.
When you're a boss, you're a boss. And you can't have these, you know, sniveling little 5-year-olds not being part of the scheme.
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually, I don't remember how. I think it just was getting dark or something.
At a certain point.
They spotted us in the bushes.
Yeah.
And my mom came and picked me up, and she was, like, crying. And the girl's mom never let her
hang out with you
again.
We got a couple missing girls here.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the girls in the bushes if they've seen them?
Yeah.
So did the friendship ever blossom after that, or was that
no,
that was the end?
Totally cut off, yeah.
Have you searched for her on Facebook?
I don't think I have. I know her first name is Alex.
Classic.
But
I've known a few Alexes, and trust me, all kidnap worthy. This isn't your fault. I think that's the most important thing. We should do like a Goodwill Hunting thing where I just keep telling you it's not your fault.
Yeah. I have no guilt about it.
Good.
Actually, I think,
that's the most important thing. I don't want your life being ruined because you kidnapped one little kid. You know what I mean?
It was, I could have gone in like a bad direction, though. That kind of is like psychopathic.
It doesn't sound like kidnapping,
though.
It
was premeditated, though. Like, it was.
All right, now it sounds more like kidnapping.
I drew a fucking map with a crayon, like, this is the bush we're going to be in.
Oh,
this
so
is my house.
It was all included.
Yeah.
How far from, you didn't even leave the school ground, or you did?
I didn't.
Yeah, so one of the worst kidnappings of all time. And this was where? In Orange County?
In Capistrano Beach, yeah.
At least it's a nice place to get kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Alex, in a lot of ways, you know, she lucked out.
I think so. And she missed out on a friend.
This would have been a best friend, if you ask me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing, the effort you put into that friendship. And you got nothing back.
I know.
I blame Alex for this relationship deteriorating.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Smart, whose side did you take on that that whole kidnapping scenario?
Well,
part of you had to be like, you know what? Maybe he just needed a friend.
Right. She just backed out of their original agreement.
She wanted to be your friend. She thought hanging out in the bushes was cool. And I'm going to tell you right now, Alex, if you're listening, don't be a coward anymore, all right? Reach out. Rekindle this friendship. She was the first person that ever wanted to talk to you, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
I could turn anyone into, you know, the real victim. That's kind of my gift to the world.
I love to victimize myself, too.
Listen.
It's so nice.
I find it's better to victimize other people.
Oh.
You know, I'm always the perpetrator.
Okay.
In my theory. Says here you almost died of dysentery.
Oh, God.
So
yeah.
What I know about that is mostly based on Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
This
was more of a tropical amoeba.
You're probably too young for Oregon Trail, but...
No, yeah.
It was very impactful in my life. And I died of dysentery several times on that game.
So you get it.
I understand. So what, you drank some dirty water?
I guess so. I mean,
some animals peed in the water. You said, hey, get me a glass.
I don't know how, because I was with an ex who I didn't want to be with anymore. And we were trapped on this island, the farthest you could get away from home.
You guys were still a couple at the time, or he was already
I had
ex.
Broken up with him, but he was like, well, we got this trip to Bali and like we have to go. And one of those.
He
like,
thought he was going to win you back.
I don't know what he thought, but. I don't know. We were supposed to go scuba diving with the manta rays this one morning.
Sure.
And I woke up and I was like, I'm not feeling good. I'm like nauseous. And he's like, oh, you just don't want to go scuba diving and you're trying to get out of it.
He was mad because he was probably going to try and murder you.
Yeah.
I've seen this kind of thing before on
various because
Netflix
I wasn't,
docuseries.
I know, because I wasn't certified. I wasn't scuba certified. And I had a crash like 30-second course. And I didn't pass the test, by the way. I was like, water was coming in my hole. And
well, listen, hold on.
And I didn't pass, and the guy was like, yeah, you'll be fine.
Very suspicious.
I would have died.
Yeah. dysentery saved your life. You're one of the few people in the world who can say that.
Yeah.
I did a TV commercial one time for Lowe's, and at the audition, they were like, have you ever gone scuba diving? And obviously you just say,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And then they booked me on it. And then they were like, do you have your certification? And I was like, no. And they go, oh, but you said you scuba dive, right? And I was like, never certified. And they were like, oh, well, you'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, why are they even asking?
Oh, my God.
And then the premise of the commercial was that I built something. I had extra pieces. The thing I built falls apart, and then I just turn around and walk into a pool and sink to the bottom. And then they would be like, all right, this time, could you stay down at the bottom for like 10 seconds? And I'll be like, okay.
Oh, my God.
And so I did it like 30 times. And then they had like a shot of bubbles coming up.
Yeah.
And like a shot of me screaming underwater.
Oh,
So then they release the commercial and they don't include any of that other stuff. So it just shows me walking into the pool and then you just see some bubbles coming up.
Right.
And I watch, I'm like, sweet commercial. Yeah. Lowe's, you know, go get it. And then a bunch of people online start complaining that they didn't think it was funny that I killed myself. And all I could think of was, that's what makes this spot funny, was that I killed myself. Lowe's, time to die. Listen, you've got a lot of interesting things going on here.
Yeah, I didn't even get to the diarrhea part.
Please, hold on. Hold on. We obviously are going to close with the diarrhea part. That's really the bread and butter here. So the diarrhea...
Yeah.
This is also in Bali?
Well, this was the dysentery. He went scuba diving without me.
He went without you?
Yeah, of course. What you already douche. Paid for it. Yeah.
What a fucking douche.
Yeah. And then I had terrible diarrhea. And then I was like on the toilet projectile vomiting.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, I got to turn around and put the throw up in the toilet. And then shitting on the floor.
Nice.
For 8 hours. There was just shit. And
Rachel Murray, you are turning out to be quite a catch.
Yeah.
Where in Bali was this? Just so we can send people to the right resort.
It was
Canggu.
I think it had been slowly building since day one because it's like my stomach is sort of distending more and more every day. But
you were starting to get the
Yes.
The belly was projecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he came home. I was like napping in bed and he was like reading next to me. And I woke up like shitting the bed. Just like it was just, it was the most disgusting thing. And I looked at him and I was like, get out. And he was like, what? And I was like, get out right now. And he like left the hotel room. Oh my God. The people that worked at the hotel had to like come in and change the sheets and like three different times.
Did you at least blame him? Did you go, look, I don't know what his deal is.
Oh, but he threw me under the bus real quick. I mean, it was obvious. I was very sickly. And then we finally got a doctor to come, and the doctor was like this 20-year-old girl with like an 18-year-old boy nurse.
Yeah.
And they're like,
in Bali.
And they're like, we think you need antibiotics. They're $600. And I was fucking broke because I lived in New York and...
Yeah. You'd made a lot of decisions that weren't the best.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, do you think you need the antibiotics?
This
like,
is your, like, your ex?
Yeah, who also like told me how much money he had, which was a lot.
Yeah.
And didn't want to pay $600 for me to live.
Yeah, you should have been like, well, you have two options. Buy me the antibiotics or I shit all over you.
I had already done that. Yeah. It didn't seem to deter
The threat
him.
Wouldn't work. He was probably into it. This guy sounds like a real creep.
Yeah, and then, oh, God, and the 18-year-old then had to, like, stick an IV in me, and I could tell he was, like, really nervous and shaking.
Yeah.
Because he'd, like, never, it's like he'd never touched a woman before.
Yeah.
And so he, like, botches it. I'm bleeding out onto the bed.
God.
It's a fucking
what
nightmare.
What a trip.
It was so, I'm
one
never
for
going
the
to,
ages.
And then we got back to New York, and I moved out of that guy's apartment.
So I was going to ask, when... This relationship ended quickly after the Bali experience.
Yeah.
What, I mean, were you sick the whole time? Were there any days at the end of this trip?
No, I was ill for like months. Like things did not go back to normal for a while.
Bali is our sponsor here at Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers, the Tourism Board of Bali.
And he was fine. Like, what the fuck is that? We had the same exact experience, and I get fucked.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on here. He poisoned you.
Oh, my God.
I watched a lot of Netflix specials. What was going on was the relationship was turning sour. You had obviously already spoken with him about, hey, look, this isn't working out.
Oh my God.
He's giving you the, no, we got to go. I already bought the tickets.
Yeah.
And his plan was to try and kill you. This guy was a murderer, and you're lucky you got out alive.
I fell right into it.
Yeah, you did. The spider set his trap, and he almost won.
Oh, God.
You're lucky you didn't go scuba diving. That was his fatal mistake, was poisoning you early.
Well, if I did, the sharks would have gotten me from the body
Listen,
liquid.
if you were shitting in the water, you would have kept the sharks away.
That's true.
Oh, okay. I was like, what's going on? I thought maybe her boyfriend was...
God.
He walks in. Yeah. He's here tonight. Get him in. The Prince of Bali. So have you ever seen that guy again? Have you?
He tried to get back together with me.
Did you hook up with him again?
No, because, well, no. Because I had quickly moved back to LA.
Oh, okay. You escaped New York completely.
I was like,
completely.
That's all I need of that. But he tried to get back together with me over FaceTime, I think, and was like, show me your tits. And I was like, no.
Listen.
I think I'm done.
You got to give this guy some credit. Is he a potential murderer? Yes. Does he seem like a pretty big douche? Yes. Did he try and get back together with you after you shit all over him and vomited all over a hotel room that he paid for? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It was the extra nipples. He knew he can't get that just anywhere.
No.
Yeah, let me see the four titties. He was trying, man.
Yeah.
What a real creep he seems like.
I wish him the best.
You do? It's a very Tim Dillon move. Well, I hope nothing but the best for him.
Yeah, I don't want no trouble.
Yeah.
Michael J.
You were unofficially diagnosed recently with ADD by an unlicensed therapist. Now, is that someone who has more credentials than me saying, I think you don't have ADD?
Yes. Well,
I've been considered abnormal by many different professionals.
Are you neurodivergent?
I don't know what that means, but okay. I definitely am.
Okay.
So how does someone unofficially diagnose you? Is that just like
Well, I found a counselor therapist through this like training program, so it's like a little cheaper.
Right.
So she's like in training to get her degree. I don't know. Certification.
Yeah, certification.
Her MIT or whatever.
I long believed I should be an alternative therapist.
Okay.
And by that I mean I have no credentials or qualifications, but I really feel like I can solve everybody's problems.
Yeah.
And that kind of sounds like what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I originally got the idea because I was listening to a lot of my dude friends bitch and complain about things. And a majority of the time I'd be like, well, you know what you need to do? Stop being a fucking pussy. And they'd be like, what? Because people always think you're going to give them friendly advice. But the truth is sometimes people just need to hear the truth.
It's the best medicine.
Yeah. And you just
stop
go,
being
look,
a bitch.
It's exactly right. The amount of dudes who are like, I just don't know what the deal is. Why? The problem is you're being a little bitch.
Yeah.
And she knows you're being a little bitch. And that's why you'll always be a little bitch. What did they recommend? What was their?
Well, I don't know, because then she said, "Hey, my training program's over, by the way, and I'm not going to be your therapist anymore."
Wow.
Like, so I have like two more sessions with her, and she's like, "So I'll let you digest that."
Yeah.
And the like.
Listen, we got to do everything we can to make sure she doesn't get certified.
Oh, maybe there's still time.
This is our chance to bring people down. She's still in residency. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do it on a follow up podcast. Bring in the therapist.
Oh,
just let
him
know.
Love that.
Listen, you diagnosed one of our best strangers. You know, we've done a few of these. No one yet has mentioned explosive diarrhea on the podcast.
I heard some stuff.
I mean, there's definitely some stuff going on, but you know,
maybe that's why I was like, I gotta get my best material.
Yeah,
there
put it all together. Hit them quick right off the bat. Extra nipples.
Yeah.
That draws everyone in. They're like, tell us more.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnapping? Yes.
Relatable. She's likable.
You're going to be getting a lot of dudes sliding into your DMs probably from this.
From, yeah.
Oh, we talk about.
From the two-ended explosion story.
Yeah. It's, you're the opposite of a Chinese finger trap. There's a lot going out both ways.
Yeah, it's like when you squeeze like one of those little things and it comes out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It pops out
the water.
Stress
the
thing.
Water snakes. Do you know what I'm saying? What?
Listen, everyone is very confused. We followed along everything. Listen, when you're in Bali, you squeeze the water snake. If you know what I'm
saying.
No,
it's a toy with like gel in it.
Yeah,
and you like.
It looks like
it's
gonna break.
Yeah.
But it doesn't usually.
Yeah.
Then maybe you have a story we don't know about.
About
squeezing the water snake until it explodes.
Oh, God.
This is why this guy wants to get back with you. It's clear as day. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You speak in a lot of code.
Yes.
Four nipples. That was a shout out to some sort of a QAnon type
clearly
situation.
An erotic gal. Yeah.
What do you do? Do you have a job?
I have a lot of jobs.
Okay.
I have too many jobs.
When someone has a lot of jobs, none of them are a good job.
Interesting. It's something
I've come across.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been in crisis for a long time.
What's the cause of your crisis, do you think? Do you know?
Yeah.
Do we have time to
childhood
delve into this?
Childhood drama.
Yeah.
Being neurodivergent.
So tell us, what does that mean? What is neurodivergency?
Well, okay, the traits of ADHD are like impulsiveness,
yeah,
which I clearly have, an inability to like make plans for the future and follow through with them. It's very like instant gratification.
Okay.
Like, if I don't get it now, I don't want to do it. I don't want to like invest in things
right.
slowly.
A 5-year plan is not something for you.
No.
You want the rewards and the riches now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know how to change that about myself, but...
Yeah.
And it's like if I could focus on one thing, I think I could be good at that one thing, but I'm also afraid to do that because I'm like, no, but I like all these other things too, and I don't want to commit to like one life
sure.
as one identity.
I'm the opposite. There's nothing I enjoy. And from a very young age, I was just like, I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into this profession.
Yes.
Was just like, well, I like making fun of things.
Yeah.
There was not a lot. There's not a lot of other jobs available for you
no.
to make fun of things without angering people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fired from most of the jobs I've had in my life.
Same.
And... This is just a couple of people bonding about our inability to stay employed.
Yeah.
What's the worst job you've ever had?
Oh, my God. In New York, I signed up to be one of the people that hands out Time Out magazine. You have to get there at 5 a.m. or something when it's still dark. They hand you like a fucking giant. Do you know what Time Out magazine
is? I don't.
It's like a daily little magazine.
Okay. And so it's what tells you about what's going on
like
in New York City.
In New York, yeah.
Okay.
And so it was pouring rain like the first day I did it, and they don't give you like an umbrella or I don't even know, but they give you a stack of magazines and they're like, "Don't get them wet." And it's like it's fucking pouring rain and he kept yelling at me cuz they were getting wet and I was like, "I'm also getting wet."
Yeah.
And like everything is wet.
Yeah.
We're outside and it's raining.
Yeah.
Everything's dirty here anyway.
It sounds like they didn't have a very good plan.
It was so bad. It paid $15 an hour and it was only like a 3-hour shift or something. And so I was like passing out these magazines and this like big guy with a trash can like rolls his trash can by me and he's like, "I used to do that," and like pretended to kill himself. And I was like,
and this dude's pushing a trash
this
can.
This guy's pushing a trash can and is pitying me.
Yeah.
And I was like, something
that
is
doesn't
awry.
Feel good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
humbling.
Did you consider taking the whole stack and just tossing it in his trash can?
Oh.
That would have been a power move.
Oh my God. That would have been a cute.
Yeah, and you guys could have bonded,
button.
And
yeah.
then, honestly, might have been true love.
He
I don't want to say you missed out on an opportunity, but he sounds like he was the keeper.
He looked scary. He had, like, crusty white stuff on his face.
All the best.
And I was like, this man has a better job than
all right.
me.
I don't want to live in a world where I don't wake up with crusty white stuff on my face and take a trash can for a
early.
Spin around in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, that is the most successful man in New York City. A lot of people don't realize that. One of the best jobs you can get.
Well,
trash
no, he
can
wasn't
pusher.
A trash.
He just
like,
had
truck
a trash
man.
Can.
He like it was like in Bryant Park specifically, just going around emptying the trash cans.
Wow. Janitorial services
yeah.
judging you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what we should do?
We
should go back to New York City and we should
okay.
murder him.
Okay.
And I obviously people are going to take that the wrong way, but what I mean by that is kill him and his life. You don't judge other people when you push trash cans around a park.
I needed that wake up call, I think.
There's a lot of bad guys in your life. I'm going to be honest.
It's a motif for sure.
I've heard one, the love of your life, the trash can man, and then the shitty ex who
literally.
Has no, literally the shitty ex.
Covered in shit.
And this guy was obviously into you. He probably didn't wash for days.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's an uncomfortable rich person, allegedly rich person. Maybe we could get him to fight. I don't know if... I know Bum Fights was canceled.
Mm.
Cancel culture put an end to that one.
Yeah.
But if we could get...
It's like Yuppie Fights.
Yeah, Yuppie versus
guy.
Trash Man. Listen, there's a lot of potential here. YouTube is going to pay us millions for this. What are some of the jobs you've been fired from? Obviously that one.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you have any, like, good, explosive, you know what, fuck this job, where you either quit or told someone off and they fired you?
I mean, I worked at this really nice hotel in New York.
Okay.
Like a 5-star hotel.
So you're moving up. Things got better.
Things got better. I had to wear a dress. It was very fancy.
Are you opposed to wearing dresses?
Well, it was a very, like, revealing dress in the back.
Oh, okay.
It went down to our butt cracks, like, open all the way down to the butt cracks, but, like, tied a little in a bow. And men would always be like, I like your back, and, like, touch it.
Oh, that's pretty creepy.
It was creepy.
Yeah.
And I got, like, I always got, like, in some altercation at that hotel, and then the managers would just throw me under the bus. And I'm like, I probably shouldn't be getting, like, pushed by men.
Yeah. And just
in a hotel. And then, yeah, you defend him and let him have a drink. And
yeah. And then they're like, we make you wear those dresses because we're a creepy representation of the patriarchy.
Yeah. And they would tell me to smile more all the time. It was a bunch of French men. It was just.
Oh, French people are. They're some of the most disgusting human beings on the planet. I don't know if we have any listeners in France, but turn the shit off because we don't need you and your disgusting frog ways. Wah, wah, wah. I will touch your back. Wah, wah, wah. There was a lot of people in France who just thought I was doing an impression of them. That's how dead on my French impression gets. So you've been back in Southern California how long now?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Yeah. Are you happy to be back?
I am.
Do you understand now how much better it is here than New York City?
I do.
And what are you doing now?
I mean, I work in, like, marketing sometimes. I do some legal assistant work. I do, like, stand-in work on set.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who are you standing in for?
Right now, Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that exciting? It sounds like it's probably a boring job, but...
It's interesting to me to, well, it's not interesting because you're, like, adjacent to doing something cool, but you're not.
Right.
You're literally, it's, again, another just degrading, dehumanizing job where you're an object that is moved around like a little.
What if she were to stand here and then that's when you step up and knock it out of the park? Am I right?
Yeah.
You do a great job standing in?
I do a good job, yeah.
Has anyone been creepy on set?
Yeah.
Have you seen Alec Baldwin murder anybody?
Oh, fuck.
On set?
Oh, God. No. I missed that one.
That's where every on-set situation goes for me now. It's just like, I wonder what would happen if Alec Baldwin shot someone there. They're like, on the set of Sex and the City, the new? Yeah. Just imagine the scenario.
It's
always possible. So what's the dream? So you have a hard time focusing on wanting to do one thing.
Yeah.
Right now, someone said, you can do whatever you want to do, we'll pay you money.
Okay.
What would you do? What's the end goal?
Oh, just one thing? No, that's what makes me have an anxiety attack.
Well, that's what I'm pushing for here. I want to see if we can get the anxiety attack on camera.
I might break.
What are the things? It doesn't have to be just one. What?
I mean, I like music. I've done some, like, songwriting.
Okay.
So that's something.
Do you sing?
Yeah, but I don't see myself as, like, an artist. Like a, you know.
Okay.
Being my own artist. I'm getting too old, I think, too.
You're too old for art?
To be a singer, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the cutoff is, honestly.
I feel like it's like 18 now.
That's it?
They're coming in younger.
You have to get in by 18?
You gotta get in.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I always thought, for me personally, I thought I'd be a great singer and, you know, lead a band, that kind of thing. And then people were like, you sound awful and you have no skills whatsoever.
So it was just the idea of...
It just seemed like it would be cool. And that I thought, I'm probably cool enough to do it. And then they, you know, there's a lot of auto-tune in the world. So I thought maybe I could be like,
I could see you as a white rapper.
Yeah, at least, you know, R&B. Maybe I'm just the background guy who hits like a few like, ooh.
Okay.
You know, something, but it sounds robotic.
Yes.
I just want to be a robot singer. It's really.
I went on a date with a white rapper once, and he was like, do you want to do auto-tune? And then we had a conversation on auto-tune.
Dang. That's like his play? That was his move?
That's his move.
Did it work? Were you into him?
No.
Was he like, let's hook up? And you were like, get the fuck out of here.
No, I think I just slept in his bed and like nothing happened. And then he was like, can you leave quietly in the morning and don't touch me while we're sleeping?
My God. Listen, guys are decent 7 people.
7 a.m.
He set an alarm. I'm setting an alarm for you. When it goes off, leave. Do not touch me. That's so weird. Dudes are so weird. Why would you let you stay the night? Were you drunk?
Yeah, I
was. Oh, so that. It was just an. I'm not. I assume she diarrheaed in the bed, Sarah.
Oh,
we don't
God.
Have to even mention that. That's obvious.
I used to be a bedwetter as a child.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Me too. There's nothing to be shameful about.
I did
about
it during
that.
The day too, honestly, if I'm being honest.
So you were just awake and peeing on the bed? That's a whole new level. Listen, I'm starting to think you didn't have food poisoning. I think there's a decent chance you didn't want to go scuba diving, and you had to keep the ruse
going.
It wasn't
pee just coming out.
Yeah.
It was...
You're like, I got to take it up a level. This pee isn't working.
Yeah.
He's still into me.
Yeah.
What if I barfed and shit all over the place? And he was like, we're still cool. You're like, ugh.
Visine interrupt.
Yeah, just pouring old Visine, too, back when it really got people sick.
Oh, God.
I went to a bartending school before I moved to L.A. because I thought I should have some sort of a skill set.
Mm.
Never once got a bartending job. But the dude who was the bartending, or I'm sorry, the mixology professor at the, God, what was the name? They had like an actual name, like it was a college.
A university.
Yeah.
University
was like,
of Dranks.
It was ridiculous. But he was so proud. He was like, here's something they're not going to teach you a lot of the bartending academy. So I'm like, oh, we're getting the inside scoop. You get some old Visine. I'm like, what? And he's like, the new Visine doesn't work because they took the chemical out of it, but you got to get some old Visine from like the 1990s.
Oh my God.
And you put that in a little drink and it'll make someone shit themselves. I'm like,
oh God.
I go, where do you get? Because, of course, in my mind, I'm like, I better find out where I can get old Visine. This is like the last day of training. Like, all right, now you know
Damn.
How to mix 150 drinks. This is how you make people shit themselves
oh
at
God.
Your bar.
So it is the bartenders like roofing women, probably.
Yeah, and in this one,
there's a big pandemic of roofies right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
People
Every
are getting
bar.
Roofied again?
Yeah. There's resurgence.
That's so creepy.
Yeah.
I've never, actually, I can't say that I have never been roofied.
Oh.
I might have been roofied once.
Okay.
It's very possible. But it was roofied by a dude who was trying to have sex with the girl who was my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, my God.
Because I was a very heavy drinker. At this point, I was like 20, and I had like 1.5 glasses of Maker's Mark, and then I was passed out.
Yeah.
And I have no explanation for how that happened otherwise.
Did he seal the deal with her?
Yeah, I woke up, and they were fucking.
No.
So.
Yeah, it's by the bartender. It's by the owners of the bar to rob them, not to rape them.
Mm.
Oh, that's what the roofing's about?
Yeah.
So
to get them to spend more?
It's people.
They spend money and then they steal their money out of their wallet, like tourists.
Oh.
That's what it is in LA.
That sounds correct.
At the Abbey. So wait, they're. Because
you know a lot of like single women go to the Abbey to like just like have fun when they visit LA.
I see. I don't know what the Abbey is. I'm not very hip.
It's the biggest gay bar in Hollywood.
So someone is roofing women at a large gay bar and stealing their money? And no one's getting fucked. Mm. All right. Well, you know, it could be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a terrible scenario. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong. But at least, you know, when I heard people are getting roofied, I'm like, wait, so people are just getting Cosby'd
no,
all over
the
place?
No, that is true. No one actually gets fucked. And I'm like, who is roofing if they're not following through?
That's what I'm saying.
How are you keeping track?
If you're going to roofie,
please.
Have some tact.
They must have ADD.
Have memory of it.
Yeah.
So you don't remember.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doing
it to the men, too.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, nobody's.
I just want it to be a fair, you know, a fair ball game out there. Everyone's getting roofied and everyone's getting robbed. Okay. In conclusion, Rachel, what do you got coming up? Is there anything you want to promote? Social media? Do you not want to promote social media? It sounds like there's a lot of creeps in your life.
I mean, I'll put my Instagram out there, I guess.
What's your Instagram?
It's at @RachMurr.
RachMurr.
Yeah, because my name is Rachel Murray. So
yes.
The first part of...
Of both.
Yeah, of both names.
I see what you did there, yeah. Rachel Murray.
Yeah.
RachMurr.
Yeah.
And is there any pictures of your ex-boyfriend on this?
I think there are a couple.
Nice. I'm excited to see, you know, a man covered from neck down and shit.
Yeah.
Scuba diving gear on.
Ooh.
There's a lot of potential for good fun there. Well, thank you for coming. Thanks for telling some stories and, you know, being open about it. We're going to bring Sarah on to ask some follow-up questions for the stuff I didn't think of because I was, you know, obviously distracted by the tales of your life.
Yes.
So there's going to be some things I missed. We will delve a little bit deeper into it, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Say hi.
Back, guys.
The red light?
On the camera.
On the cameras.
Oh.
It's we're just like real TV. The red light goes on, you know the camera is on
so
you.
So professional.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've done a lot to really kind of up the ante in that aspect. We're back. Sarah is here.
Hello, yes.
Sarah as well.
Yes, the other.
The other Sarah. It would honestly, looking back now, we should have just never addressed it. And then people just be like, that's a different Sarah, right? And
yeah.
Like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a good point.
Sarah's, all Sarahs are the same and equal as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like 50% of people would have not noticed at all.
Especially if they were asphyxiated on such a charismatic, really good looking in parts of the Midwest guy like myself.
In a baby blue shirt.
In a baby blue shirt that really makes my eyes pop like a warm Caribbean bay. None of that's
Sounds
true.
Like a nod to Bali, and that's a sore subject in this episode. So.
It certainly is. Well, this is Rachel.
Yes.
She's a very open being. And what was the thing you were diagnosed with where you can't focus on something?
ADHD.
ADHD.
Yeah. I mean, not too dissimilar, but my homeopathic doctor diagnosed me with ADD.
Oh, really?
Also, yeah. So.
Homeopathic means like hippie doctor, right?
It's kind of, it's a very interesting way that they read you. They basically like hook you up. It's what they use for like astronauts, and they use it in a lot of other countries. But they hook you up to these like little plastic things, and then they kind of ping sonar into your body, and they see how your body responds to all of those frequencies to see if you're out of regulation with certain things. So like food sensitivities and stuff like that will come up on it. ADD came up on it for me, stuff like that. Stress, that kind of stuff comes up on it. It's interesting.
Just guessing, do you think mine would probably come back perfect?
Perfect.
Yeah, they'd be like, unbelievable. All the stats are exactly as they should be. Nothing strange about you. I love your notes, by the way. I just look down. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, so it was funny when you were talking about the dysentery because so one of my friends.
That's how all good stories. You know what's funny?
But one of my friends was on a cruise and she got very severe food poisoning.
Oh,
and she was vomiting and diarrheaing at the same time. And same thing. She couldn't. One was going in the toilet and the other was going into the rest of the bathroom.
And you switch back and forth until.
There's no controlling it. And she said she was like so exhausted at one point. She was like in the bathtub. Just shitting and vomiting, and her boyfriend at the time, she was like, "That's when I knew I was going to marry him." So I feel like dysentery is a real make it or break it kind of situation I go through.
When I,
you know, if you want to be
it's
with
life
someone.
Or death,
yeah,
I was on the verge.
When I was undiagnosed diabetic, I would vomit, projectile vomit, and shit. At the same time, a lot.
Really?
Oh, just from blood sugar stuff?
Just from my blood sugar being high and not knowing what the deal was. But it only took me two times. I don't know, three times a week minimum.
Wow.
For a couple of years.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
And you were like, I'll just ride this out. Well, no, I don't need to go to a doctor
yet. I got just morning sickness.
Listen, this is... I went to doctors. What I found out was that doctors don't have any clue what they're talking about unless you happen to find the very specific thing that they know about.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went to a general practitioner first because that's what you have to do. And he was like, oh, you have gastrointestinal problems. You need to go see a gastrointestinologist. I'm like, oh, okay. So I went to this guy, and he had no idea what he was talking about, but I didn't know that. So he diagnosed me with some bullshit, and then he started giving me, like, Nexium. He was like, well, you have severe acid reflux and intestinal migraines and a bunch of shit. I'm like, whoa. And then I went home and Googled it and was like, most doctors don't believe this is real. I'm like, this motherfucker. But I would just throw up and shit regularly to the point that I just eventually, I think it took me 3 times before I just got a trash can that I placed in front of my toilet so that way I could just pick it up and vomit. And then that was my
plan. It always at the same time?
It just happened
like
all the time.
Like the urge would happen at the same time?
Basically That's what crazy. Happens is you're, because my blood sugar was so high, your body basically tries to adapt to the conditions. Mm. So my body was producing excessive amounts of stomach acid in hopes of breaking down any food I ate so that my body wouldn't process it and my blood sugar wouldn't get higher.
Right.
And what that basically makes happen, it makes your stomach start convulsing, so you throw some up so that it doesn't go in your body, and then the rest of it's so acidic that it just turns into a fucking toilet disaster.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
So yeah, good times.
Good.
So I did it for 2 years. So when you're telling a story, I'm like, best 2 years of my life. I weighed a buck 35, you know, it was a really healthy time in my life.
Wow.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. I had a homeless guy hangs out at the Comedy Store tell me, ooh, you look like you got AIDS. And I was like,
is that Boone?
That was Boone.
Yeah, Boone that sounded exactly like Boone.
Yeah. The amount of times he told me, I think something's wrong with you. I'm like, you live on the street.
Yeah, this isn't that was a good your sign. Trash can guy moment.
That was my trash can guy moment. And to this day, one of the just true keys to my heart is anything Boone Shakalaka has to sell.
Did you ever listen to the pod that Jay and I did? It was like a sketch pod. Boone was our weatherman.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, my
and
God.
We would just tell him that he wasn't allowed to say anything too specific about the weather, and he would just rattle for like 5 minutes. It was beautiful.
The first time we did a version of this show was like 10 years ago, and Boone Shock was my Ed McMahon. And so we were like, hey, we're doing this show, we need you to be there. Can we count on you to be there? Do you know about dates and days of the week and that kind of thing? He was like, well, when is it? And we told him, he goes, I'll be there. You're going to have to have Tebow call me. And so then we had to have Tebow.
Yeah, Tebow's his handler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Tebow was like calling him on like a payphone. And he was like, he said he'll be there. I'm like, I can't believe he answered. This is amazing. And then he did. He showed up and he dropped way too many N-bombs for
to
be something you could ever use.
Mm.
Where I'm just like,
uh-oh.
I mean, you can use that word because you're who you are, but at the same time, I don't think we can pitch this.
Not palatable.
Yeah.
Hard to sell.
Anyway, Boone's he's a catch.
He's
He's
the heart of the Comedy Store, really.
Yeah. He was.
Everybody here owns something that he sold them.
He was a walking thrift store.
Yes.
Mm.
He just had a bunch of...
We don't know
of,
where he got it. Well, we have an idea of where he got it, but...
Yeah, but it was like random. Like you could ask him for the most random thing, and he'd be like, "Oh, I got it." And you'd be like, "What?" He'd be like, "Do you have an Oak Ridge Boys T-shirt?" "Ooh, I think so." I said, "Because there's no way you have that." Then he'd come back and he'd be like, "It's denim. Is that okay?" He'd be like, I guess.
It's
denim T-shirt. Here's $2.
Yes.
I don't know.
All right, bringing it back to Rachel.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go back to the nipples for a second, if I may.
If we could go back to the nipples.
I have some, like, very curious questions about
it.
Okay. Is there, like, an areola around your nipples? Or?
Not really.
No.
Like, the more prominent one. Well, I mean, they can have, like, breast tissue under them and even, like, lactate if you're, like,
that was
pregnant.
My next question. Are they functioning?
I've never been pregnant, so I don't know. I may never get pregnant, so maybe I'll never know. But I don't think there's breast tissue because it's just, it looks like a mole, but it has like the crease, you know, the crease that a nipple has.
Yeah. I've seen a nipple.
Do you know
before.
What I mean?
Yeah. Wait, no. like around it?
No, like in the middle, like
oh, where like the tissue of the
where
actual,
the hole would
where
be.
The hole would be.
Yeah. Oh, where the baby so would get funny. The milk from.
Yeah. Is there so, sensation in them?
No.
Okay.
In my main ones, yeah.
Yes. well, the, hopefully.
The,
yes.
The standard nips yeah. are fully functional sensation wise.
I was just curious. I was over, like, ooh, I wonder if, no. if you know, like if you had kids, if you could breastfeed with them.
If you had so if you had quadruplets, could everyone get a drink at the same time?
Everyone lining up at the drinking fountain. So are you single? Are you dating?
I'm single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying being single?
Yeah. This is like the longest, not the longest. This is the longest I've gone without like dating, because I'm normally just after a breakup, I'll like, it's yeah. one of my addictive things. Like
right.
getting that validation is something that
find love immediately
instant yeah. yeah so this is the longest I've gone. It's been like 3 months only since
oh,
my last
my
relationship.
God. How have you survived?
It's a long time.
I haven't been on a date in 4 hours. It's so tough being attractive women. You guys got it so bad.
How long were you dating this person for?
4 months.
4 months. Where'd you meet them?
A dating app.
Okay.
What app are you using?
That app was Raya, which is embarrassing.
Oh. Why is it embarrassing?
I don't even know what that is.
You have to pay for it, and it's supposed to be like elite.
Oh.
Yeah, like, there is an eliteness to it.
Yeah.
I never got into it.
Maybe it's you're not elite not enough.
I guess not. Have I did pay for Bumble, though.
Okay.
But I think as a woman... You should.
Okay. I'm
it
on
makes
Hinge
your life
now.
Easier. I just felt like it was so few and far between. Like
yeah, they
Hinge.
Only give you a little at a time because yeah. they want you to pay for it.
Oh. Really?
They're like, if you're premium, you can see more people.
Oh.
And I think they don't even show your profile to people unless...
That might be true.
I've never dating apped. I don't want to make myself look uncool.
Being in a long-term committed relationship. Yeah, you should be embarrassed.
Listen,
stability.
I don't know if you've ever seen comedy, but a lot of what is talked about is, you know, the hijinks that ensues from these dating apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that's the best weird... stuff out there.
Yeah. It's a learning curve.
What's the difference between all of them? What's Hinge and Bumble compared to...
Bumble is like the Sadie Hawkins of the dating app, right? The girl has to, you have to match with somebody, but then the girl has to start the conversation.
So a guy can't just reach out to anybody.
And bother you or send you a bunch of stuff. Or you
Dick
have to
pics.
Initiate, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like when I was on it, it made me more willing to be interested in someone because I could change my mind if I needed to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't worried about them bothering me or reaching out to me. Or
So you can reach out to them. And then if
and
they
have
respond,
24 hours to reach out
is that
to
right?
It's very high stakes.
And if they don't respond, then their dick falls off. Yeah. We're going to have to talk to an app developer about this because I really think this might be the one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And Tinder's kind of obsolete now. I don't know.
That was the main one. I couldn't think of what it was called.
Right.
And that's just anyone.
That one's just like
no holds barred.
Fucking app.
Yeah. It has the reputation to be a fuck app. I know that there were people that got in relationships like when it first came around and probably even still, but like the reputation is like if you're going on there you know what you're getting a lot of the
and
same
you're
people.
Sifting through it's like going to a thrift store like a Goodwill
used,
plus where you're just like wow.
applicants
yeah
I have a friend who's married to someone he met on Tinder and the ongoing joke at the wedding was like violation of all the rules of this app. You're not supposed to marry someone you meet on Tinder.
The officiant did that?
It was just basically everyone at the wedding
would
just go around being like, can you believe they met on Tinder? You're not supposed to marry that person.
Do you think that if you marry someone off of a dating app, you guys have to exit the altar to the right as if you're
being swiped right? I believe so.
That could be a... cute thing. Could be a new cute thing.
When we get our wedding company startup going, that's something we're definitely going to look into. She'll be interested
customers.
In working with us for a solid 2 weeks before she moves on to a different plan.
Yeah.
What is your longest relationship?
Oh, God, it's under 2 years. I've never made it to 2 years.
Me either.
Okay.
Yeah. 1 year and 9 months was my longest. And it was my first relationship.
Yeah. Mine was like a high school, 1 year and 11 months or something.
If you're not with the right person, though, then that's already way too long.
Right.
Yeah. To be in a relationship.
Yeah. And I think I was with a lot of the wrong people for a very long time.
I know. And we're taught so much to be like, just accept people. You're never going to find the right person. And I'm like, why not?
People are telling you that?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's like the common,
it's like single shaming. It's like, you're being too picky. And
oh, my God. And it's like, I'd rather be alone for 10 more years. Like, I'm not just going to commit my life to someone who's not even compatible with me. Like, why aren't we?
I think that's the safe way to go.
Yeah.
It seems weird that, listen, as a very average looking dude, no one ever gave me that advice. They were just like, yeah, you're lucky if you find someone. You're like, oh, okay. But they weren't like, you gotta stick it out. They're just like, look, you're pretty fucked up. So,
not to say that we don't all have work, but I feel like I've seen so many people enter relationships and I'm like, oh, there is no way this is going to either be good or last.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's scary, you know, and that's like very normal thing. It's like, you got to get hitched. You got to get hitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you meet your wife?
I met her here at the Comedy Store.
Oh.
She knew a crazy chuckle fucker that was hanging out at the time. Are you familiar with that term?
I am.
Okay. So there was a girl who hung out here, and she had slept with probably 4 or 5 comedians that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought my wife here. They worked together. And so I immediately started talking to her, and then it was just trying to make sure that no one else talks to her.
Uh-huh. By roofying everyone else.
But that's what I did, because I'm a gentleman. I did not roofie her, but I did roofie every comedian in the building for a solid 3 weeks. Stole money from their wallets and used it to pay for dates with her. So, but yeah, I met her here.
Inventive.
People were always like, I don't know where else I would meet someone. True. I don't go out.
Okay.
Part of why we worked out at the beginning was I was like, listen, I don't have any idea where to take someone on a date.
Aww.
I'd been in LA for probably 7 years. I'm like, I've been to like 3 restaurants.
Yeah.
Because that's where the girl wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take you to some restaurant that some other girl wanted to go to. So
we
would, you know, hang out when we'd go out. It was basically to the Comedy Store.
Okay.
She became friends with a bunch of my friends here. And so it worked out all right. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to meet people.
It's also weird, like post-pandemic, right? Like it's not even quite post-pandemic.
Did you date during the pandemic?
I had 2 relationships during the
Unbelievable.
Pandemic. I went into the pandemic with someone. He eventually like ghosted me after a year of dating, but that's a different story. And then the 4-month one who 2 months after we broke up, he wanted to get back together and told me that he had cheated on me with 3 different people in 4 months.
Wow.
And thought that that would like gain my trust.
The openness.
And I was
make
like,
you jealous?
Oh my God.
I'm leveling with you here. I was a horrible boyfriend for 4 months.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in getting back together with me?
I don't know. If we had some foundation that was worth like building upon.
Yeah.
No.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
so you're from the OC.
Mm-hmm.
Do your parents still live there?
My whole family is pretty much down there. They're like conservatives who are just in
the OC
bubble.
Way, yeah.
Yeah, very blue collar conservatives, but yeah.
I never realized until I guess I got a little older and started learning about politics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize Orange County was basically a red county.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought all of Southern California was blue.
We're like hippies.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, and it is weird because there's a lot of rich people there.
Mm-hmm.
And why they're conservative makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But the blue collar element, I'm just like, wait, there's like religious people and hardworking Republicans? That's so weird to me. But
I know.
I remember I met someone from Garden Grove, which doesn't seem like a nice part of Orange County.
Yeah.
It's like Anaheim's shittier cousin, basically. But they were all Republican. And I'm just like, why are you Republican? You're poor and you're gross.
How does this benefit you? It's not helping you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that's the political game. You just got to trick people into
believing
the right
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The COVID, I think, made it very clear, like, where the boundaries of, like, the mask wearing and the not mask wearing were.
Yeah.
That was very interesting. Are you close to your family?
I mean, it's a complicated, there's all these different dynamics, but like, I don't have a typical relationship with like, I don't know, like mother, daughter. I don't really talk to my dad.
Are your parents together or not together?
No.
Not together.
They divorced when I was like two.
Okay.
Yeah. So you said, I think you said single mother earlier.
Yeah. Very tumultuous.
What I like situation. Is very open about the explosive diarrhea she had, but she could tell, she's like, we don't have time to delve into.
I know. I was like, I mean, I could crack that can of worms, but we're going to be here all night.
It's going to become a 3-hour episode because her mom is here. Bring her in.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister. We're less than a year apart.
Okay. And Irish twins.
Irish twins, both accidental, toxic. Yeah, toxic pregnancies. And then I have three like half siblings that my dad had.
Younger?
Later on. Yeah, they're all under 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
These kids today.
Yeah.
Always half siblings.
I know. I feel everyone's always like, oh, half siblings. I'm like, well, I don't fucking know them. And my dad's a piece of shit. So like, I'm not going to be like, my little sis.
Right. What I like is now, terrible. Now we know. She's like, Mom, it's a complicated situation. Dad, he's a piece of shit. We're just going to say it. So if you're listening, Dad, your only chance to get back in good graces is to murder the trash can man in New York and or any douchebag in Bali. Those are the two big things we need right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it out there.
Sure. I like those options.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what I got. Oh, what's your just out of curiosity? Do you live alone? Do you have roommates?
I have one roommate. She's new. She's only been in since the first, but I like her a lot. That's we'll be friends.
How did that roommate situation happen?
I like posted on Instagram that I was looking for someone, and this girl that I knew in New York was like, I know someone.
Oh, okay. Friends of a friend.
Friend of a friend.
I was going to say, if you're just putting it out on Instagram and someone, just some dude is like, oh, hey, babe, great pics.
Yeah.
Looking for a room.
I like your back.
Yeah.
Creepy. What's the
great
hotel
roommates,
in New York?
I hear.
I'm going to try and get a job there, and if they won't let me work there
just
with
go
the dress.
Just go in with a low cut. Back of
I'm
going to
go, you guys are sexist. I'm going to sue the fucking dress off of everyone in this building.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rachel. We appreciate
thank
you being
you
on
guys.
And being open and telling good stories. Very entertaining. We appreciate it.
It was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We got a live show. I think this is coming out before the live show. So December 8th, Comedy Store Belly Room. Come out, bring friends. It's going to be a good time. We're going to make fun of people and laugh. And so, yeah, come check it out. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's Ingraham Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.